Blog Talk Radio.
Moderating our chat room. I hope you guys had a great weekend. I certainly did. Got lots and lots of rest. And then, of course, Dr. Reggie and I had a marathon yesterday. We did the Walking Dead marathon on AMC. Dr. Reggie is a huge fan of horror films and zombies and vampires. And so that was his treat yesterday. It was fun. But you know what I really found interesting about watching The Walking Dead was the development of characters, the dynamics in relationships. Of course, you know, we're talking about spiritual partnership, and it's just amazing to see how people handle their fear and overcoming their fear and building their strength and the different challenges that they had to face to survive. It was such a display of the five sensory human being, survival of the fittest. Don't you think, Dr. Reggie?
Mm-hmm.
It really was. So
it's true, and you mentioned that yesterday, that these are five sensory people running around and waddling in fear instead of using their real sense of faith.
Yes, and actually in that season, this is season two, one of the challenges was are we going to just fight to survive and just forego our morality? You know, there was this sense of saving humanity, if you will, and where are our moral values? It was, and the gentleman that was challenging that eventually wound up dead. But there's so much to see in this beyond the zombies, and the writing is exceptional, and the character development is exceptional, and it really gives you a chance to see some of the principles play out that we've been studying in spiritual partnership in this drama. Maybe an entertaining way to look at, you know, and safe. You're not looking so much into your frightened parts of your personality, but can project that onto these characters and work your way through it. So I do strongly recommend that you have a marathon Sunday with Walking Dead. What did you think about the show, Dr. Red?
I thought it was good. And one thing that really blew me away was this. In the horror film genre, a lot of people say, oh, I'm too scared. I'm not going to watch that stuff. I'm scared. They're identifying and showing what their real fear is.
Mm-hmm.
But psychologists and psychiatrists say, when you're watching horror films, you're really into it, you never identify with the person being killed or being victimized. You identify with the person who's getting away.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do that, you know you can survive. It's about your own survival on a spiritual, psychological, emotional, and physical level. You learn how to survive. So it's never about, oh, my God, I'm scared. What would you do? You learn to survive. You hold on to your spiritual principles. The five sensory thing is always fear.
Right.
The multi-sensory thing is always above the fear and above the fray, and you go on and survive.
Yeah, I found myself rooting for the people that really fought to survive and strategically thought how to survive. You know, so
right.
You're absolutely right. I was identifying with those characters. The guy who's kind of the leader of the pack, I really love the way his character evolved. He assumed the role of trying to keep everyone safe because, of course, he had the badge of honor. He was a sheriff or some kind of police officer in before all of this destruction. And he knew a lot that many of them didn't know. One was that everyone was infected with this disease, but was a carrier. But to see him try to hold all of that and to give all of these people hope and all of the things that he went through trying to make their survival number one for him was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Am I making the right decision? Is this all? He was tormented on so many levels, and it was just amazing. Anyway, that's enough of that. I just thought it was we talked about the book Spiritual Partnership while we're watching. It's just amazing. Anyway, so Dr. Reggie, why don't you go ahead and take us into our morning prayer?
Okay. As we breathe in life and breathe out light, we thank you, Father, for the power of something simple as breath that keeps us alive, and we so much take for granted. We thank you for the power of being able to survive in this world. Our blood system, our nerves, the network of who we are, very complex connection, making us who we are in our bodies and in our minds. We thank you for that power, giving us individual ability to think and uniquely composed of our thought in you is a blessing that we take for granted. Thank you for our mobility, and for our energy, and for our health, and for our prosperity, and for everything that we do in you, because without your creation, we would not exist. And we thank you for the power of the earth we live in, and that we're evolving and ascending all the time in our thoughts and in our deeds. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is, and so it is. Oh, I love you guys so much this morning. I love you every day, actually, but I just really feel the love coming from so many of you, and God bless you. So this morning, we are going to talk about spiritual partnership with coworkers. And if you're following along in the book, I'm in chapter 36, which I believe begins on page 237. The military, the religion, and commerce are sibling organizations. They are highly structured, coordinated, and effective pursuits of external power. And only their dogmas and their uniforms and methods differ. All are global. They ignore the boundaries of cultures, nations, and individuals and strive for dominance. They are proactive, competitive, and expansive in nature, obliterating, if possible, all values except their own and suppressing opposing values, if not. Highly homogeneous, they do not allow diversity except where necessary. And when it serves their objectives, they aggressively impose themselves to the best of their ability. Whoa. He has really, defined the military, religion, and commerce, equally meaning business. Listen to this is something. Their structure, they're coordinated, and they're effective in their pursuit of external power. They do not allow diversity. Look at all of this. They are proactive, meaning they try to make decisions before problems occur. They are competitive and expansive in nature. Here's the thing that really hit, obliterating. If it's at all possible, obliterating all values except their own and suppressing opposing values. He goes on to say that they assimilate and eliminate adversaries. Beneath exterior differences lies the same intention, which is what? To manipulate and control through force of arms, ideas, or money. No resources are withheld. All weapons are brought to bear continually. Cannons. He's talking about ideas, and then the weapons, and then currency and money. Ideas, money, and weapons. With the sole goal of dominating nations, cultures, and competitors. Contentment is not a part of military or the religious or commercial organizations. Soldiers train to wage war and impatiently wait for opportunities in times of peace. Priests, monks, and missionaries spread their ideas continually, ceaselessly, competing with conflicting ideologies. Commercial success demands ever-expanding market share and endlessly increasing profits for investors. All three of these present themselves in the most appealing way possible while pursuing objectives that are not always appealing. Military organizations appeal to your national pride and ideology. Currently, for example, they present themselves as defenders of nationhood, democracy, and freedom, yet few military organizations remain defensive when offense is possible. From warring tribes to multi-million person armies, military organizations have raided neighborhoods and conquered nations, stolen horses and oil reserves, forced individuals into slavery or destitution, and in countless ways impose themselves by force. Not every soldier is aggressive or brutal, but the function and purpose of every military organization is. And no religion feeds the hungry or cares for the poor without a second agenda of proselytizing. Its good deeds come with a price. Believe as we believe. The righteous are saved. Infidels are punished. Heretics are killed. Heresy is eradicated. And opposing beliefs are eliminated, displaced, and assimilated. Not all religious individuals, such as Mother Teresa, care for the needy in order to convert non-believers. But all religious organizations do. He's talking about the organization. So, no business pursues a, and he's going through and trying to really lay out his foundation here. Okay, I don't want anyone to be offended by any of these things. Let's give him a chance to present his position and where he's going. So there's no business that pursues a greater goal than net income. I mean, many of you may be small business owners. You're always concerned about how much money you're going to make. That's the whole purpose of being in business. So he says that slogans such as progress is our most important product and working together for a green world, they are disconnected from ever-perfected practices to produce maximal profit. Profit is our most important product, is the anthem of every corporation. Automotive, telecom, steel, software, and more, but proclaimed by none except banks. So the lack of connection between a soundbite on our logo and the environmental pollution, destruction of forests, or poisoning of towns, or scarring of mountains, and fouling of the atmosphere and the extinction of species that commercial organizations create results from the pursuit of external power. And so, like chameleons changing colors to blend into their surroundings, These businesses become community-oriented. That's in quotes. And then, quote, environmentally friendly. And even maybe, quote, energy efficient. What are they doing? They're trying to project contemporary images of social sensitivity and responsibility. But they're masking the ultimate and the only and the unyielding objective, which is what? To maximize their shareholder profits and executive bonuses. A different intention, totally. But they proclaim something to be socially aware, environmentally aware. And so here, what do we have? We have the values, the methods, and objectives of these organizations shape the individuals within them. Soldiers, religious professionals, business people. They recognize one another in and out of uniform. Each of these organizations, the military, religious, and commercial organizations, crushes and discourages individuality, constrains original thinking, and confines creativity to acceptable channels. All members of the military fear individuals with higher rank and failure to perform as required. Congregants fear ceaseless suffering or lack of enlightenment. Employees fear coworkers with more ability to manipulate and control. And executives fear their failure of their business to profit. So in short, each of these organizations is built upon the perception of power as external and relentlessly pursues it. So the measure of the commercial activity is called an economy. No one has ever seen an economy. There are local, national, international, and even global economies, all of them yet to be photographed. They differ in scale, the number of commercial activities that they measure, but they are essentially the same. They could not exist without commercial endeavors, without businesses, and so they reflect the businesses that they measure. And the total value of goods and services created in a nation measures the activity of all the businesses in the nation. So since many commercial organizations do business in several countries or different continents through different sub-organizations and ownership structures in order to maximize their profits and bonuses and reduce taxes, the global economy has become more important in this last century. And it is very important today because it affects businesses everywhere, even those that are not international and not corporations and not large. But an economy is a picture of commercial activity that is painted in very broad strokes. While some businesses in an economy may grow and others fail, the economy does not describe these things. It just shows an overall picture that includes all of these activities, both large and small and successful, meaning profitable or not. And when an economy grows, which means that the value of the goods and the services produced increases, that is considered good. Because more businesses profit and more and higher bonuses are paid and shareholders get larger returns from their investments. But the opposite happens when the economy does not grow or it contracts. And that is considered bad. Therefore, the more that businesses produce and sell, the better the economy is said to be. The economy does not take into account the effects of the commercial activities in it. For example, it doesn't take into effect the effect that it's having on the youth or the elderly or communities that host businesses or the well-being of employees or the care of pregnant women or the education of young people. It does not take into account their effects on the environment or the quality of life, health, global warming, or the well-being of the earth, humanity, and even other forms of life. It measures only monetary value, money. It also reflects the pursuit of external power. And that generates five sensory businesses. This is the reflection. When something, and let's just say, for example, apples, is not easily available, they call that supply. And many people want it. That's when you is demand. Well, the price increases. Every economy assumes a shared intention of the individuals involved in commercial activities to maximize self-benefit at all costs. In other words, it's about making money no matter what it costs to make money, how it's going to impact others. It doesn't matter. We have to make money. So these assumptions are not made by economies. Since economies are not real things, they are made by people who study economies, and they accurately describe the continual pursuit of five-sensory individuals to manipulate and control and take advantage of circumstances in order to make themselves feel safe and valuable. Now, what I'm going to ask you guys, as you think about what the journey that we've taken in studying this book of spiritual partnership, when you're hearing all of this, what images are going through your mind at this time? You know, the whole time I tell Dr. Reggie this all the time, I said, in every book that we go through, that we study, I come back to look at our nation and what we are going through. I mean, my heart, well, let me put it this way. It weighs heavy on my heart what our country is going through. And what I see so clearly displayed in our political and in our government and in our economy is that is the struggle to evolve. We are evolving. We are in the midst of evolving, of changing. And it's a struggle. And what I see very clearly is one faction that's trying to hold on to the old way. And what he's laying out here, that old way is about manipulation and control. And there's another faction that is trying to break through to to multi-sensory functioning. That's why so many of the today's mystics and teachers are telling us that the old way of doing things is gone. It is over. And what you see with I'm getting so tongue-tied because the words are coming to me faster than I can get them out. So please be patient with me this morning. What we are seeing in this struggle are the frightened parts of our personality. And so the question for you, I'm not going to say question, your mission is to really hold these leaders, those that are on Wall Street, those that are in government, hold them in the light and pray over them and bless them. See them embracing, moving into a multi-sensory consciousness. it's a big challenge ahead. And the longer we try to hold on to the old way of doing things, the more painful it's going to be for us. We'll be in this mode for a long time. The sooner we embrace a new way of doing things, the sooner this nation will heal. So he's saying, in short, commercial organizations are pursuits of external power embedded in a statistical entity, which is the economy, that assumes this pursuit. But not all individuals in commercial activities act in their own self-interest, but all commercial organizations do. So he's laying a foundation now to say, we're going to look at the commercial entity and your co-workers, and you are basically in an environment that is a five-sensory environment, and all the rules are structured in this five-sensory environment. I can tell you that I don't function well in those environments. It took a lot of work for me to function in a corporate environment. And I could move through it, but it just worked against my nature, because my nature is basically a multisensory being. And they quell your creativity. Here it is that I'm embracing the flow of ideas and creativity coming through me, ways to improve processes and procedures, and I'm quelched. No. Mainly from others' fear, because they're all tied to their job, equally meaning their salary and their status. And so I dare you have an idea that may threaten that. So it's true that the consciousness trickled down throughout the organization. So he says, at job sites, in offices, in stores and fields, workers participate in five sensory endeavors that reflect the requirements of a five sensory species that is evolving through the pursuit of external power, the perception of power as the ability to manipulate and control. And it's counterproductive. Commercial organizations that are built upon it and economies that reflect it continue to exist, but it's counterproductive. He's telling you it's evolving. It's like cars that have run out of gas and yet continue to roll down the freeway, sometimes for a long distance if they're traveling fast enough when their fuel disappeared. These commercial organizations and the economies that describe their activities have basically run out of fuel, and no more is available, and none will be. All are pursuits of external power, and external power prevents our evolution. Wow. So you see the struggle? Now do you see it a little clearly, more clearly? Now do you see, no matter what the politicians tell you, now do you see why our economy is not working? It's not working because they're holding on to old ideas. After all, this is the 21st century. And they're holding on to 20th century consciousness. So when they're spewing, I can make this work, I can make things better, and they don't tell you how, it's because they don't know how. It's a new day. So what does that mean for you? The reason I was instructed to teach prosperity, true prosperity, so that you can survive these times. You are a divine being. There is energy in you that can overcome any economy. All I'm asking is that you become aware of that. Become aware. I'm not asking you to follow me. I'm not some guru. I'm just a voice that's saying, wake up and recognize your power. That's all. I'm ringing a bell to wake you up. I'm your alarm clock. Wake up. You cannot rely on anyone but the divinity within you. You're responsible for your life, for your experiences. And here's the thing. You can create your life experiences to be anything that you want. I'm not selling you voodoo hoodoo. I'm telling you the truth. But it takes the four C's, just as Gary Zukav has laid out. It takes courage to face your fears, commitment to change, being conscious of your actions and your words. That's all. Easily said, but kind of challenging to do. So the question is, what kind of life do you want to create? That's the first thing that you have to ask yourself. What is it that I really want? And I'm asking you now to follow what excites you the most, what gives you the most joy. If you could create what you desire, why would you settle for anything? But that which is going to bring you joy. If you're moving in an organization, that organization is only concerned about making profits. And I'm not telling people to get up and quit their jobs. But I'm telling you to think about, is this a quality of life that you want? And if you are in a job and you lose your job to today or tomorrow, if you're laid off and you don't know what you're going to do, that there's something inside of you. I call it God. You may call it something else, energy. But there's something inside of you that will help you overcome. So when I lost my job, I was faced with, do I run back and get another job? And that something inside of me said, if you take this job, if you take this, you will be taking it out of fear. I had the courage to face my fear. I didn't want to be afraid anymore. I didn't want anybody else controlling me. I didn't want someone threatening me. If you don't do this, you may lose your job. I didn't want that anymore. So I accepted the challenge. And it dawned on me a few months ago that I was saying, I had a story. My story always was, oh, you know, I got laid off on my job. And it was like, well, you know, I haven't worked for a year. There are a lot of people out there right now have this same story. Oh, my goodness, I got laid off. I haven't worked for a year. Oh, my goodness, I got laid off. I haven't worked for 2 years. Oh, my goodness, I got laid off. It's been 3 years since I've worked. You know what happened to me? on that third year, I said, oh, my God, it's been 3 years and I'm still living. How did that happen without a job? I'm surviving. I'm the happiest I've ever been. I'm creating the life that I desire. And then I started becoming aware of how all of my needs were being met. All of my needs were being met. Yeah, sometimes it gets a little short. Funds get a little short. I'm not going to deny that. But guess what? When a need is there, the money shows up. I don't know how it works, other than the fact that I just believe that I'm going to be okay. And I've moved day by day by day, moment by moment in that truth. And so now, if there's a decision between being joyous and living in my joy or being trapped in a job that I don't like, it, and I tried to go back. And I was sick every morning. Can't go back. This is a new day. I want you to be prepared. And it's a process. That's all I'm saying. It is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Where I am and my belief did not happen overnight, and it was not easy. And I spent many a night of frightened, sweating, night sweats from fear. But I broke through. I broke through enough that I can get up every morning and come and talk to you and try to give you the courage and be there to support you as you discover how powerful you really are. Wow, I love you guys. You more than you will ever know. We're going to continue to talk about coworkers and this environment tomorrow, because he's going to really teach us how to deal with it, because you're basically working in a, you know, there was a study talking about how dysfunctional the corporate environment is and how it actually creates codependency, and how that codependency moved into our family structure as well. And so we're going to talk about those things tomorrow. I'm going to ask if anyone has a comment or question this morning, go ahead and press 1 on your telephone keypad. And if not, I'm going to move to closing our show and asking Dr. Reggie to give us our closing prayer. But I wanted to hear your thoughts this morning, if you have anything. No? No takers this morning. I love you. Okay, so listen, our next book is going to be on the secret power of words, which is written by our own Dr. Reggie. It's going to be a powerful book. You can purchase this book from TGS Publishing. Which you can find online, TGS, I think it's hiddenmysteries.com, TGSHiddenMysteries.com, and purchase his book for our next book study. Hey, Pam, I see your number popping up in our queue. Love you. I also, Dr. Reggie, we want to hold Pam Rogers in prayer for her health. She just put a comment in the chat room. So, Pam, we are holding you in prayer. All righty, let's go ahead and go into our closing prayer. I love you guys. Have a wonderful day, and we'll be and check in with us tomorrow morning.
As we live and breathe in the mind of God, each one of us has the power as his children to say, I summon the powers of resilience and renewal. I summon the powers from within and powers from without. I summon the power to help me face the world as it is and as it must of necessity be in the future. I summon the power to help me to make my own happiness, to have multi-sensory powers of being at peace and experience healing and understanding and love in spite of the world's conditions, in spite of the foolishness of men, in spite of the resilience of everything else that's opposing me. I know the powers in me, the God that I am expressing myself as a soul individuated in power. I become, I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Okay, guys.